and Muyoka's. The projector has come, so maybe let's just give you a few minutes to connect your gadget.
Thank you.
And I was waiting for that computer mic to do that. Members, I think let's start, even if the computer is not working, so they'll find us on the way. Member Hall, good morning.
Absolutely.
How are you? Okay, let's start, members. We've got Auditor General's office here today to tell us about health. Auditor General, we're the members of the Portfolio Committee for Health for the National Parliament. But though we are from the National Parliament, we are oversighting the whole Department of Health, not only the National Department of Health, because the actual service delivery is done in the provinces. So we are expecting you to tell us everything, not only National Department of Health, but all the departments, so that we can understand what's happening. I'm sure, members, you know what Auditor General is all about. They're going to be telling us. I'm not sure whether they'll tell us about service delivery, but they'll tell us about figures, what's happening in these departments. So thank you very much for coming. I think we just have got three ladies. I think they were told that there's a 50-50 female-male, but they even went beyond 50-50. It's all females. It's Connie, it's Alice, and it's Vuyogas. I know all of them, so I'm introducing them to you, members. On the other side, we've got the members of Parliament here that are sitting. They are your opposition, at least for today. We've got the whip, Ibrahim. I always want to say Rasul, but it's Ibrahim Suleiman, not Rasul. Next to him, we've got Honorable Sekgale Deswai. Beyond her, we've got Honorable Mafola. Beyond Mafola, we've got Honorable Dr. Luthuli. Beyond Dr. Luthuli, we've got Honorable Dube. Beyond Honorable Dube, we've got Honorable Mike Waters. Beyond Honorable Mike Waters, we've got Honorable More. You can say more, you can say more, you can pronounce it the way that you want, she will accept it. Beyond her, Honorable Msweli. Those are the members that are going to be listening to you when you are telling us what's going on. We've got some journalists, fortunately they accepted today. We're not going to chuck the journalists away. We've got a visitor, somebody that I invited to come in. She was coming for something else. She's in the Pharmaceutical Industry Association, the Association of the Pharmaceutical Industry in South Africa. Uviki, she's sitting there. She'll just be listening. She's not interested in the money. But what they're doing is the cost driver of health. The drugs are the cost driver. They're the main, most of the money goes to drugs. But she said she wanted to come and listen, so we invited her. Said she can come and listen. So those are the people. So we give over to you to tell us what have you found in the Department of Health or in the Departments of Health.
Thank you very much, Chair. Also, thank you for the invitation to present you with the information. Maybe I should start off by saying we're not opposing today. I rather would like us to see it as adding and empowering the committee with some knowledge so that your oversight can be more effective and efficient. I just want to explain the two documents. The one document is a larger print of the other, but we thought it would be helpful to give you the notes page as well, where we've got the slideshow on top and the explanations at the bottom, because it gives some substance to what we're saying only in the graph. So we will use the two documents interchangeably. When we refer to the big one, we will say it's a slide, and when we will refer to the smaller one, we will say it's the handout, just to differentiate between the two. The documentation we've prepared is also in the same format which we're using currently in all our roadshows. We're having roadshows right through the country. Every province will have a roadshow by the... We will finish this process by the 2nd of November, so we're running with this currently. Last night was the roadshow of the Western Cape. This morning, AG had a session in Cabinet where he presented the outcomes for the whole country, as well as the sector information for health. So he also presented and positioned health and education because they're the biggest boats in the country. He then presented sector information for health and education. So it's the same information that we're presenting to you now. It might be in a different slide or different format, but it's exactly the same. I just want to, at the outset, explain the difference between an unqualified audit opinion and service delivery. Because this morning in one of the meetings, I noticed that members battled to say, but how do you link the two? How can you have an unqualified, but we know these issues? For our... Maybe if we can go to slide 3 and who you got it. We'll come back to that one. On slide, in your handout of slide 4, it's that grey line just on top of the dark line. If the department gets to that grey line, we can actually say, you've got clean administration, and we give you a clean bill of health. Currently, there are no departments in the health sector that's got a clean bill of health. Sounds nice. Change in health, clean bill of health. But it means that although you've managed to resolve your financial administration issues, there are still service delivery issues that we cannot say you are doing well or you are reporting it adequately and properly. And we're going to give you information on that. But I thought it was just good to explain how we position this so that there's not a misunderstanding to say it's unqualified, but we know there are issues that still need attention. Chair, I'm going to hand over to Corneille to take us through the slides, starting with slide 3.
Thank you, Chair. On slide 3, it's just an analysis of the total budget expenditure for all 10 health departments. So it's the 9 provinces plus national, so this presentation is focused on all 10 departments. In that slide, we see that the biggest spending and the biggest allocation is going to KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, KwaZulu getting 21% of the total budget. And then the next slide, and perhaps there it will help if we go to the handout, it's a summary of the audit outcomes for 2009-10. If we compare to 2008-09, we will see that there were two disclaimers in 2008-09 that actually regressed, and this year there are 4 disclaimers. The four disclaimers was in Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Northern Cape and Free State. Then there was no APTIS compared to the APTIS in 2008-09. Three qualifications, and those were at KwaZulu, Limpopo and Mpumalanga. For 2019, there were three unqualified reports, and those were Western Cape, National and Northwest. Western Cape managed to have unqualified audit opinions for quite some time. If we go to the table below, we will see that for the last 5 years, they actually had unqualified audit opinions. Compared to National, that had unqualified in 5-6, then they received qualifications for 3 years, and in 2019, they managed to move to an unqualified opinion, mainly due to the fact that they had documentation available, so we were in a position to audit the revenue and the goods and services that we previously couldn't audit. And then Northwest, they mitigated the risk, they had action plans, and the previous year's qualification, they were also in a position to move that to an unqualified opinion. But as Alice indicated, none of them are currently where we can say there's clean administration. All of them, even the three that is unqualified, either have non-compliance that was identified or issues on service delivery predetermined objectives. Just below the line, you'll see that for predetermined objectives, all 10 departments had findings on predetermined objectives. And then for compliance on laws and regulations, it was reported for 9 of the departments. For Limpopo, it wasn't reported in the audit report. It doesn't mean that they didn't have non-compliance. It was raised in the management report that it wasn't so significant that it had to escalate to the audit report. On the next page is just an analysis in terms of the movement. We see Eastern Cape stayed the same. Previously they had the adverse, this year they've got the disclaimer, but we don't see it as a regression or an improvement because either adverse and disclaimer is equally bad audit opinions. So there was no improvement there. Free State regressed, qualification to disclaimer, Northwest the improvement, and National the improvement as we discussed. On the next page, page 6, when we look at the outcomes, we also need to consider to say where must the departments focus so that there can be improvement going forward. So on top we've got the graph indicating the bar, and just below there's a table where we first of all focus on leadership. And leadership is divided in three: oversight responsibilities, tone at the top, and action to mitigate risk. And then you'll see under oversight responsibilities there's a column that says improvements noted, and then improvements required. For oversight, we haven't noted any improvement. And what we're saying is for the health sector to move forward, all 10 departments need to enhance their oversight responsibility. That is the leadership's involvement, their oversight of policies that need to be in place, implementation of policies, making sure their systems. It's their involvement and their oversight of what is happening in the department. So all 10 still need improvement. Down at the top, there we said that 6 of the 10 departments need to improve the tone at the top. That is their attitudes towards compliance, wanting to do things better, wanting to do the right thing, as I say, making sure that there is compliance, what is implemented is adhered to. Actions to mitigate risk, 9 of the 10 departments still need improvement, and then Northwest we indicated as being that there was improvement, and that actually resulted in the unqualified opinion. The following area that we focus on is on financial and performance management. Once again, the same table below, where we focus on quality of financial statements. All 10 departments submitted financial statements that required material adjustments. So even the three that were unqualified had to make some adjustments, otherwise they would have been qualified. Where there was qualifications, they made adjustments to prevent a disclaimer or adverse. So the quality of financial statements still need a lot of attention. We also talk about the year-end effort, waiting until the auditors come in June, and then a lot of interaction and a lot of corrective steps is being put in place to get financial statement so that it presents more accurately, whereas it should be something that happens throughout the year. It's daily activities, monthly activities of reconciliations, of making sure there's cash count, of making sure if I receive a documentation that there's supporting documentation attached, that there's a review, that it's filed so that it's available again when somebody inquires about that transaction. Proper record keeping. 9 of the 10 departments still need to enhance their record keeping, and it was only at national where we noted an improvement, and that's also in terms of that resulted in them moving from a qualification to unqualified. This also relates then to performance information and the lack of them being able to provide documentation to support what is reported in the annual report, the actual achievements. Adequate systems, all 10 departments require improvement in terms of systems. What we see is there's not a single system that supports the health sector so that information that is generated to the provinces can build up and can be reported accurately to say this is national health information. So there's a lot of different systems and they don't support each other in giving accurate information. The last area that we focus on for improvement is for governance. For risk identification, there were 6 departments where we said that they need to focus more in making sure that they're more proactive, that they can identify the risk so that they can implement actions to correct it or to address it. Fraud prevention, 5 of the departments still need to enhance their fraud prevention plans, the implementation, the follow-up, making sure that people actually understand there is a fraud prevention plan and what do they need to do. Internal audit, 5 of the departments need improvement in terms of internal audit. Internal audit is there to be proactive. They should assist management in identifying the gaps, identifying the control weaknesses, so that corrective steps and controls can be enhanced. So for 5 departments, still need to improve. On the next page, page 9, we made an analysis of the qualification areas. So this graph is the 7 departments. It's focusing on the 7 departments that received qualifications. So we can see that all 7 departments that received qualifications had a qualification on capital assets. And it's basically due to the inadequate monitoring of the physical assets and the lack of proper reconciliations. Asset registers not being maintained in place, assets that you can't verify the existence. Then there was receivables. 7 departments had qualification on receivables. And that links to the patient administration and the limitation of scope in the patient files, limitation of scope so the documentation is not available for the auditors to audit and to verify the information to support the receivables that was disclosed. Other disclosure items, in general, there is inadequate systems to report on disclosure items, like commitments, accruals, so they need to have a manual process of making sure that they can report on what is required. Revenue, there's a lack of adequate patient administration, and that resulted in the revenue qualification at 4 departments. Expenditure, once again, lack of documentation to support the expenditure that was disclosed, and auditors couldn't audit and verify the amount. And then the last one was in terms of unauthorized expenditure, fruitless expenditure, where there's a lack of inadequate processes to identify and to detect when there is irregular expenditure. As a result, what was initially disclosed was incomplete, and either by the audit process, irregular expenditure was identified, or we concluded to say that we cannot get assurance that you have disclosed everything, all the irregular expenditure that was incurred during the year. Next page, page 10, material misstatements corrected. As I previously indicated, we said that all 10 departments need to focus on enhancing the quality of their financial statements. The areas where corrections were made were in terms of capital assets. We also remember that there was all seven departments that was qualified on capital assets. Current assets, there were three departments that made material corrections. Liabilities, also three departments. And then linking to the fact that there is not adequate systems, in terms of other disclosure items, we'll see that nine of the departments made material corrections to improve the information and the quality and the completeness of other disclosure items and notes. Revenue, two departments that were qualified on revenue, three departments were qualified on expenditure due to the lack of documentation, and unauthorized and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there were seven departments that had to make material adjustments to make sure that irregular expenditure is fully disclosed. On the next slide, we focus on the predetermined objectives, and that is the service delivery and the information that is included in the annual report, the actual targets, the actuals that they've achieved. We classify it in terms of non-compliance, but that is the basics. There must be an approved strategic plan with objectives, with indicators. There must be monthly and quarterly reporting. What is reported should be in line with what was initially approved, and there must be a system where information is controlled and to make sure that there's effective and efficient reporting. Now, six of the departments didn't comply to the regulations and the standards that is set, and that is Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, Western Cape, and National didn't have a proper system to control and to make sure that they can report. Then reported information not useful, three departments. That is where we look at the SMART principle. So the indicators must be specific, it must be measurable, it must be time-bound. Very specific so that everybody knows what is expected and what should be reported on. As Auditor General, we don't look at the relevance of the indicators. That is not our responsibility. That comes from the department, from the minister, from the portfolio committee, the whole process of approving the strategic plan. There it was Eastern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape that didn't meet the criteria and where the targets wasn't useful. And then reported information not reliable, and I think that is where the big concern is at this stage, is that all 10 departments, it was found that the information that's included in the annual report is not reliable. And it's mainly as a result of when information is included and we want to audit that and we take it back to the source documentation, supporting documentation cannot be provided to verify what they report. We'll go in, we do have examples here. The next page, on the next slide, it's an extract from the National Department, where sufficient appropriate audit evidence could not be given to support the indicators. And then we've got a whole list of indicators where there was no source documentation to verify the information that is being reported. Similarly to the next slide, the same sufficient appropriate audit evidence that couldn't be provided for the following indicators. And as I said yesterday, these are not difficult indicators. It is number of provinces trained per year. I mean, there is 9 provinces. But providing the documentation to say why was 7 provinces or 6 provinces trained wasn't available. The next slide is then on findings compliance with laws and regulations. There we found that 7 departments didn't submit the monthly and quarterly reports for the DORA requirements. Then 6 of the departments, there was a finding of a lack of effective, efficient, transparent systems and internal controls. And for 5 of the departments, it was found that payments were not made within 30 days, as is required by the trade regulation. For 2019, we had a specific focus on supply chain and the following of the adhering to the procurement process. So we found that for 9 of the departments, they didn't go through the process of obtaining free quotations. for amounts between 10,000 and 500,000. Five of the departments didn't have an approved supplier database where they could select and invite quotations and tenders from. Similarly, five of the departments, it was found that employees or political office bearers had interest in the businesses where they deal with. And then there was five where there wasn't market analysis, where there was a sole service provider. They didn't go and ensure that it was the only provider. And also for five, contracts being extended, continuously being extended without following a process. Findings on human resources. There we found that the seven departments, when staff were on sick leave, they didn't provide medical certificates to support the number of days that they were booked off. There were differences, material differences between the approved establishment and what was on partial. The components didn't verify the staff establishment on a monthly basis to the CFO. It's a requirement that on a monthly basis you should say, this person was in my unit and could therefore be paid. And then we'll see the next one, where people left the department, and it directly links to the fact that they didn't certify who is on the payroll. So staff leave the organization, but they still get payment. They still get salary. And that was also at five of the departments. Then at five of the departments, staff going on leave, not recording it. Also at five, where they had negative cat leave. So it means that they've captured more leave than they actually had available. And then also at five departments, 12 where senior staff were in acting positions for longer than 12 months. And then the last one is in the appointment process, they didn't always follow the verification background checks, making sure that if a person says, I've got a certain qualification, that they do have the qualification. So that the verification process wasn't followed. In the health sector, they are using the DHIS system, the District Health Information System. This is the most prominent system that they do use, and that national use for reporting and to get information. We did, however, perform an information systems audit on the DHIS and identified significant general and application control weaknesses to such an extent that we couldn't place reliance on the system. We also found that there was no manual controls to support or to add on where the general controls lacked. So some of the findings is listed on the next slide, where we say there was no disaster recovery, there was no backup processes, there is inadequate change management processes, there is inadequate password controls so they can change passwords. So it's just the entire security environment of the information that's not effective as it should be. If you go back to the handouts, the next slide is on unauthorized and irregular expenditure. Just to explain the difference there, unauthorized expenditure is where a program or a boat is exceeded, where irregular expenditure is where the department didn't follow procurement processes in terms of the regulations. On that slide, if we look at unauthorized expenditure, we see that eight of the departments initially disclosed unauthorized expenditure amounting to 5.8 billion. And then additionally during the audit process, another 98 million was identified, making it a total of almost 6 billion unauthorized expenditure in the health sector. Irregular expenditure, not following processes, initially disclosed, 31st May, the financials that we received was 661 billion, and then after the audit was completed as a part of the audit, an additional 3 billion was identified. So 3.7 billion rand irregular expenditure in the health sector. DORA, we looked at the DORA payments and the process and compliance with DORA requirements. In general, we saw that there's not standard policies and procedures that manage and that regulate the processes. And then the actual achievements reported was significantly less than, or there was differences between what was reported by the provinces and what the supporting documentation gave us. So there's a conclusion on the next slide where we say that when we look at the targets, 53% of the targets were achieved, but compared to the budget, 99% of the budget was spent. There should always be a relation to say, well, we give money for a certain purpose, what did you do with it, and what was the end result, what was the service. So 53% achieved compared to almost 100% spent. This was specifically on HIV/AIDS. On the hospital revitalization grant, there we've seen that the project implementation plans was not submitted to National Health on time, so there was a delay. The actual achievements was significantly lower than was in the business plans, and then the monthly and quarterly reports wasn't submitted to the national department as is required, hampering the national department in terms of their monitoring and their review. Then in terms of conclusion for the hospital revitalization, there we said that an amount of 1.7 billion was allocated. But what is reported is number of hospitals accepted in the program for the financial year, and it only indicates that two additional hospitals were accepted and one additional hospital per province to be in construction. I don't think the information is useful, and maybe they should have looked at, there's no mention about how many projects have been completed. What is the status of the project? It's only how many has been accepted compared to the 1.7 billion that they compared it against and reflected against. And then finally, significant findings from the national health side. What we found there is they do have a framework, but they don't adhere to this framework. They don't do the quarterly visits as is required in terms of the framework. They don't evaluate the information that is submitted from the provinces to them. As a result, we found the inconsistencies. Then there's also the late submissions of the business plans from the provinces that is hampering them, the non-submission of quarterly and monthly annual performance information, and then the significant inconsistencies, as I said, that we've identified between what was submitted by the provinces and then actually reported by national at the end of the day.
Chair, just to conclude our presentation before we open for questions, I think it's proper to realize that there's not one department that's healthy. Even the Western Cape, as you've noted right through the presentation, on HR issues, they've got issues. Non-compliance, they've got issues. So they had to make material adjustments to the financials. And similarly for all the departments, I always believe, and maybe it's because I'm an accountant, that to sort out the finances is the easy part. The service delivery part is the difficult part. That's where the doctors need to come in, and that's the difficult part. But if the sector can't resolve the financial issues, the basic financial discipline, the attention is diverted then to fix the financial issues instead of looking at the service delivery issues. And that's why I believe there's quite a role that needs to be played, even by this committee, to make sure that there's very stringent financial management controls being implemented by all departments in the sector, and that they start looking at the processes to collate information. There's been additional grants approved for the sector, especially on HIV/AIDS. And how will the Well, how will it be tracked if we don't have proper systems to make sure that the service delivery actually happens? And we trust that this has been the official check. Thank you.
So thank you very much for giving us this information.
Okay.
And in fact, Matube, you'll notice that our work is to do oversight. And in fact, they're doing oversight. They're helping us in how to do the oversight. Mm. We don't need another workshop. This is enough. Because we're giving, national, 18.4 billion. And then there's another money that gets voted in the provinces into this development where the service delivered. And that's taxpayers' money. Now we've got to follow and see whether that money is used properly. But agreeing with you, Alice, you know, if they can't control, they can't tell us how they are used, they've used the money, obviously you can't talk of service delivery. Obviously you can't go to that level. So the report is not very good. There's no doubt about it. But maybe one of the questions that you'll have to tell us as accountants, what is the prognosis? That's what doctors say. When you've made a diagnosis, you say, is the prognosis good or is the prognosis bad? But I tend to think that the prognosis is good because you have told us and we need to do oversight. We might not have powers to fire or hire ourselves, but we've got powers to tell the department that, look, that's this way is wrong. How I wish we could have seen, we could have met you before the annual report. We met the department yesterday and they presented the annual report. And it's so interesting about the information system that seems not to be tallying, meaning that probably, in fact, what it means is that we might think that things are very bad because of the information that we have. We might think that things are not bad. So we don't know whether things are very bad. We don't know whether things are very good because the information that we have is not a real information. They might be very bad. They might be very good. We don't know, but because the information is not there. But thank you very much for that information. Members, I want to request that the presentation has been finished and we're going to be asking questions. And I know we're just coming out of lunch. I'm trying to propose that we don't have tea. We just go on and interrogate this report that we've got. And after that, we just call it a day. But there are eats that have been put here. So people could just walk quietly and have something. We're not going to have tea, but somebody can just go and have quietly have something there. If you agree with me, so that we don't have to, so that we can finish this quickly. You've heard the report. I don't have to go beyond that. But I'm taking that we agree that we're not going to have tea. I see the heads. I see Honorable Sekgale. I see Honorable Thuli. I see Honorable Waters. Welcome, Dade Khana. We're missing you yesterday. We really missed you.
No, I saw you.
Oh, okay. Mr. Sekgale, does I?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We have said it all. When you say that, I think it could have been advisable that we have met Auditor General before we met the department. But all the same, we have agreed that we'll make follow-up, and this will help us. And I always say, and I just said it when we came in, when I was just talking to the chief, that unqualified report or unqualified clean report doesn't say anything to me because I'm a politician. I'm not an accountant. What I say, I want to see if they say that Northwest had an unqualified report, what are a service delivery, and I think it has been said. But what I want to know, you have just said that they have done the oversight, but I really want to know what is the core business of Auditor General. Why am I asking that? Because mostly we hear this type of report at the end of the year. It hasn't come clear to be saying because that, I think, the function is evaluation. You evaluate how things have been working. But in between, how do you coach those people? And another thing, how do you monitor? So that at the end of the day, we shouldn't be seeing what we are seeing now, whereas we could have, since from the April, like now we have had, we saw the quarterly expenditure, and what we have seen is not pleasing. How does the AG help the department to really improve? Because when you look at the table, you see other people have been, since whatever, having worse report. And you see, like Western Cape, it has been since 2005-2006 to date, it has been having unqualified report. But I even want to ask, what is the meaning of financial unqualified? Because at a certain stage, that was last financial year, they had financially unqualified. But now, if the people have been having disclaimers, adverts or whatever, what if they are there, what are they doing to help this particular province? Thank you, Chair.
In fact, probably to add to that, which is something I'm going to give you, Malta. You know, there's unauthorized, which comparing with irregular expenditure, it's not that bad, but there's unauthorized expenditure. Now, the question is, in that unauthorized expenditure, doesn't it tell us that probably health is underfunded? So they end up going beyond what they're supposed to because it's underfunded. And looking at inequalities that we have in South Africa, are we funding these departments properly, or we need to find another way of funding them so that they can be there? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you very much for the information you've given us this afternoon. I think that, you know, sitting here, one has to say that we have a report before us here which is very, very worrying indeed. And it just makes one feel that, where do we begin? But then, as you were giving this report, you commented yourself, you know, about a lot of things where one says, how come? You know, as you are giving us the report, one kept on saying, how come? How come it's like that? For instance, it would seem as if you got people who are not even qualified for the job that they're supposed to, you know, to perform. As you were doing it, that's what one began to ask. Are people qualified for the job in the first place? And I think at some point you hinted at a query as far as that is concerned. Now, if that is the case, then one has to ask, which, how does that come to be the case? How do you even have people who must handle tasks like this and they haven't gone through the proper check that they are qualified for the job? That's number one. And then the other thing is, where is, you know, internal auditing? You mentioned, I mean, there are all those things, internal auditing, you know, reconciling at the end of every day and all those things which are going to make people know just exactly where they are, you know. And it hasn't been happening. That's why we have problems. So one has to wonder now, not only the qualification, but the training, even in service, monitoring and training. Where is all that? And then one has to ask and say, what about you as accountants? I mean, what is your role in all this, in keeping an eye, a continuous eye, that in fact things are happening, you know, that it's all going well? Because I think there was a hint there, even by one of the members, that it's shocking at the end of the year, you know, to get a report like this. Then you have to ask and say, what are those who, you know, who are in your position as, you know, accountants for the Auditor General's office and all that? What is your role in making sure that these things which are here don't happen? You know, you keep an eye, you see that there are lapses there, you see that people are not properly trained and they're not able to perform and all that. What do you do? What do you do to make sure that you point that out and you correct it and you take corrective measures and make sure that it doesn't all come to this at the end of the day, at the end of 1 year? So, Chair, I just have to stop there, but really, there's a lot here that, you know, we could just question. The whole thing is really utterly out of control. It's not that it is in one province. It is general. You know, it cuts across. So we have a responsibility here to make sure that taxpayers' money is well used, and this doesn't reassure us. We have to make sure that the money is put to delivery of services, and we're not getting joy out of this report. Thank you.
I don't want us to shoot the wrong target. We're not very sure of what is the brief of Auditor General. But I tend to think that Auditor General's office is like us. Maybe if we can...
I think that's so that they can enlighten me on that.
Yeah, no, but I just want to make an example that as members of Parliament, I've been looking at some of our reports, previous reports, and some of our recommendations. Some of them, you find the recommendations occurring year after year. And as portfolio committee members, there's no way that you can fire anybody, but you tell them that this is what is happening. You tell them the diagnosis, and you leave it to the person who's supposed to do that, to do it. But I think the important question is this one that says, do you always have to come at the end of the stick? Is it possible that you can come earlier? I think that's the question that probably you need to answer for us. Can you come earlier, or your way of doing things is that you come at the end? That's what is important. But at the same time, having met the department yesterday, I think for me, it's the attitude, as you say, as Connie said, the attitude. Because you can tell somebody, but you can take a horse to the river. If he doesn't want to drink it, one drink. But if you tell somebody who says, look, I know there's something wrong, even if that person has not started correcting it, you know, they know that there's something that they'll correct it. That's the only positive thing, because when they presented to us yesterday, they said not all is not well in the Department of Health. Obviously, that tells us that they know that they have to do something. And some of the answers were saying that this is what we're going to do. But fortunately, we're going to be meeting them very empowered with your report. That's why we're thanking you. There's a date that we're trying to set so that we can meet them again, and we'll be more empowered now when we meet them again. Mike, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I must say I'm shocked at what you've presented to us today. It depresses me, I must say, to say the least. And, Chair, you said the prognosis is quite good. I think the patients in ICU, quite frankly. Seriously. And, you know, and emergency action needs to be taken. It's absolutely shocking. But I'm not going to repeat the issues that have been raised this far. But I just want to talk on slide 19 to do with the unauthorized expenditure and irregular expenditure. And just also refer to the documentation we got from the department yesterday. I just want to read one sentence out to you, where it says, the estimated figure of accruals is 3.3 billion for the provincial departments now. Now that's accruals from the 2008-09 year. No, it would be the 2008-09 year sent to the 2009-10 year. So it doesn't include the accruals for this year either. If you know what I mean, for the current year that we're in, because we don't know what they are. But if one just, if one just does a thumbsack, probably going to be about the same, plus inflation. So probably you're looking at about 4 billion. Then a cumulative unauthorized expenditure is 11.6 billion. So you've just given us the unauthorized expenditure for 1 year of 6. But this is, so cumulative is 11.6 billion. I mean, it's huge. And then on top of that is bank overdrafts of 8 billion. So the provinces have to keep paying these massive overdrafts back at huge interest, I'm sure. I don't know if you've looked at that, because you haven't mentioned it, but I mean, okay. You know, but I mean, that must be having a drain on the fiscus as well for each province. The fact is they've got to keep servicing these overdrafts, and they're not paying for services that are currently being provided. And I just want to know, I mean, I've done some quick calculations, I'm not a financial boffin, but we're looking at I would suggest that about 12 billion rand that the provinces are, with the overdraft and the accruals for this year, they're probably looking at around about 12 billion, give or take a couple hundred million. And I'm just wondering, I mean, how long can this be sustained? And whether or not you have an opinion at all of National Treasury stepping in and doing a bailout for these provinces? I mean, you know, I mean, how far does it go before National Treasury steps in? I mean, if some of these, I don't know which provinces, we weren't given the breakdown per province exactly of who's an overdraft, whatever. But I mean, if you just look at it generally, I mean, if these provinces were companies, they'd be under creatorship, I'm sure, by now. They'd be bankrupt. You know? And that's how serious it is. And they're just, you know, so where do we draw the line? And this chair is not, this is just to get them back in on level footing. This is not talking about the NHR funding or anything like that. It's additional funding. You know. Then also, I mean, the chair raised it. I mean, are provinces getting enough money?
They
do. I mean, are they getting enough money? And I mean, there's no point in throwing money after any problem if you don't have the right management and systems in place, because you're still going to have the same inefficiencies, the same corruption, the same mismanagement. So I think it's a bit of, you know, maybe a bit of both, quite frankly. The fact is that we don't have the competent people in positions, and which is leading to inefficiencies in the system. And yes, we're not adhering to the, the declaration where we have to get 15% of the budget to help. I forget where
we're... It's supposed to be.
15. Yes. Yes. So just, okay. And then just on a program 5, you mentioned it in your presentation, the revitalization grant and the massive underfunding there. I mean, it just shocks me that we're not spending the money on revitalization of hospitals. And also, the figure they gave us in the annual report, as you said, we couldn't compare it to what, you know, how many had been completed. But Chair, just to also to give an idea, I mean, coupled with revitalization is maintenance of hospitals, which is equally as important, because you can revitalize, you know, the Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital, but if you're not going to maintain it, I mean, in a few years' time, it's going to need revitalization again. And I mean, if you look for this, the year that we're talking about, some of the provinces, I mean, okay, the worst case is in Mpumalanga. They only spent 6% of their maintenance budget on hospitals. 6%. And 94% went unspent. So, you know, even in there we have inefficiencies. You're spending all this money on rehabilitation, but we're not looking after our asset. And then just finally, I mean, it's more comments than anything else. I mean, the issue on HIV/AIDS, I mean, I'm gobsmacked that we're only achieving 53% of our targets, given the fact that we spent 99% of our budget on HIV/AIDS. I mean, given the severity of the scourge and you know, and the amount of people that it's affecting and the impact it has in the country. I just find that amazing. And maybe what we should be doing, Chair, I know we're going to have a meeting with the department, and I'm glad you've raised that, but, you know, we need to, apart from the questions that we've all asked and we're waiting for replies, we need to engage them on this particular document and, you know, and thoroughly as well. So thank you very much.
I think that is going to restrict you, and then we'll have the group. Oh, sorry.
No. Chairperson, let me apologize for coming late today and not having attended yesterday.
No problem.
But I greeted for you yesterday. I thought that was enough.
But you didn't greet me.
You are invisible.
Oh.
Look, I think the issue of the role of the auditors, I think it's important that it gets clarified vis-a-vis, I think, the issue of internal audit. I mean, it's like telling a policeman to say, where were you when this child was brought up after arresting a criminal? You should have contributed your role in bringing up the child. But it's not the role of the policeman to bring up children. What I wanted to check is this. Are there any records of the skills and qualifications of financial managers in different departments? I'll tell you, because there is one municipality where I know a cashier was made a CFO, and you can't expect that cashier to perform, quite frankly. So is there a way in which the Auditor General could be able to assess the skills and qualifications in these departments, particularly the financial section, because if there is a problem there, we'll continuously repeat the same problem. And the understanding of management of the PFMA, you know, people talk about the PFMA, but the implementation of the PFMA, whether it is also assessed in terms of management's understanding of what is expected from them in terms of range, because if you don't understand what is expected of you, you will never improve the system. The other thing is the monitoring of your management letters. I mean, there must have been several management letters every year. What does the department do with those management letters? Because the management letters tells them improve in the following areas, so that next year you also look at the management letters and say, have you improved? I mean, if a person has not improved, can we get maybe in your, I don't know whether it's possible, in your report to say, during the previous year, in our management letter, we raised the following issues, but you still have not addressed those particular issues. So the management letter is far more simpler than some complicated wording. The other one is the issue of, when in terms of revitalization of hospitals in particular, the talk is more about infrastructure and not about human resources. That you saw at Manapo Hospital where we went, where there was nice infrastructure revitalization, but there was no staffing to be able to perform. Whether there's a balance in between ensuring that when you revitalize, there should be an impact as far as service delivery and the role of those particular people. I'm just saying you might not have answers for certain issues which I've raised. I don't know whether I've raised answers or concerns, questions or concerns or whatever. But whatever I said, if you are able to give me guidance or understanding. Thanks, Chair.
Can I say, if what gives hope is the attitude of the person that you are trying to... I'm trying to repeat my quote that I was saying. You know, I heard the minister talking, and he was actually quoting what Nate Khanare has quoted, that in certain hospitals you take a junior teacher and you make that junior teacher a CEO. That was being said by the minister himself. Obviously, that tells you that he wants to correct it. I think, well, you've reminded Mike of the CEO of East London.
Responsibility.
Okay, Mike. But the other question that probably we need to ask ourselves, I know we are a year old. But I think the question comes back to us too. What have we done to correct this situation? Because we're supposed to be doing oversight and we're supposed to be telling the department that there's wrong here, there's wrong there, there's wrong there. Have we done what we're supposed to do as members of parliament? I think that question comes to us too. Much as it might be going to the Auditor General's office too, but it comes back to us too. As I'm saying, we know we're a year old, but have we not contributed in making this situation? Or Matt Dube, then I want you to be the last one.
Chairperson, I want to thank the presenters for the information that I will personally can say has quenched for the year that I've been here. This information is really disturbing. I always tell people that I'm a patient. And when I go to hospitals, I'm not attending one hospital. I'm attending all these hospitals because when I'm in Free State, I'll go to a Free State hospital when I'm sick. I don't go back to Gauteng and say my treatment is in Gauteng. What you see, it's really disturbing in our hospitals.
Just to disturb you, Matthew, in what you're saying, that you go to any hospital,
yes.
You notice that there's information here that says, if you go to Free State Hospital, having been in one of the Johannesburg hospitals, you will get a new information there. Because there won't be a follow-up of what happened to you when you're in Joburg. And if you come to Cape Town, you'll get a new folder. So every time you meet a doctor, they don't know what has happened to you. Start afresh. It's actually here.
Chairperson, I agree with them because they don't allow us to go along with our folders. But I know my history. I don't mind to relate to a doctor who wants to know my background. But what I want to say is that this information is really disturbing. On a serious note, I think as the portfolio committee, we need to fold our, jackets and socks, pull up our socks, and make the point that this is not going to happen in the report that you are going to get next year. The reason why I'm saying so is that we all know that hospitals are places where we go without the choice. And if we have staff that is either misusing or abusing taxpayers' money, some of us, won't tolerate it. I remember yesterday when I was asking the DG of the committee that when they say unauthorized funds, mismanagement, these are fancy ways, but they impact on the smooth running of our hospitals. Now, the question that I want clarity on is that when you do audit, you only audit national through reports from provinces, or you go to provinces and do your own audits without relying on the information that is given to you by the national structure. And also the question that I want to check with you is that is there a format that is being used throughout provinces, or everybody is doing his or her own way of accounting? And also, do we have financial structures in provinces that are working on daily basis? I know the report says people go home as and when it pleases, take sick leaves, But do we have those structures? And are they qualified? Do we have their credentials? That they're not like somebody saying it's a cashier from Pick and Pay to become a provincial financial manager. But also, as the chair is saying, our responsibility also is to monitor. This report that you are giving it to us, is it a full stop, or maybe it's going to go to either Treasury nationally or wherever? These are maybe the questions that I want clarity on. But I'm really disturbed. My morale is down. If I had powers, I'll just go and say, fire, then we employ. But if really people can say they cannot account, I've been an administrator in a trade union movement during those years. Any sense that you receive on that day, you must record. Any expenditure that you use on that day, you must record. That's simple. I didn't do accounting. I did Rekenkende in Afrikaans. But that's the policy of any person who's handling money. So if they cannot do that at this level, at this time of, I'm sorry, I'm getting...
Yes, thank you, Matube. We know now. We know now. You are going to come after the conference. Okay, conference.
Thank you, Chair. The saying goes that you must be cruel to be kind. And I do believe the time has arrived now, 16 years in the new democracy, that we must really get cruel to be kind. But it's not in our hands. But this committee also got some powers. We can make recommendations also. And I do believe that it's actually our duty to do something about any financial statements that's problematic. Somebody must do the job. We will be able to do the final job. It's higher up, but we can make recommendations. Chair, last week I've read in the newspapers the National Health Department received an unqualified report. I felt very happy. I even told my wife, look, our committee, unqualified. I was very happy. But when I read the report, the exception was matters of emphasis. The auditor say, my opinion is not modified in respect of these matters. He drew our attention to the matters, but he's mentioning here, my opinion is not modified in respect of these matters. Then he mentioned a lot of issues. When I read through it, I thought to myself, why still unqualified? Why not qualified to reverse or disclaim? Even this. Why? So maybe you can answer me now, telling me why so unqualified. Because I would like to mention a few things here. They speak about the underspending of 450 million. I'm just talking about the national department now. 450 million underspent. And due to Program 5, the hospital revitalization conditional grant, hospitals not being built, as I've given away, each province is waiting. But still, although it's 2.5% of the total budget, a lot of money, so. Then you talk about irregular expenditure, about 30 million, and that's a lot of money. And then the additional method is reporting the legal and the regulatory requirements. Then they talk about a lot of things, lack of effective, efficient, transparent systems, no support in source documentation, compliance with laws and regulations. It's a lot of issues. I won't mention all of them, but still unqualified. It's really, I'm not an accountant, I'm more a scientist. I'm not an accountant, but why still unqualified? Maybe you can explain that to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Memoir. It's your turn now.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm actually so depressed that I didn't want to ask any questions. But anyway, yesterday when we learned that the National Department had an unqualified audit, we were very happy.
What happened to your voice?
I don't know. Cape Town affects my voice. The weather this side is so fun. 7 seasons in one day.
congratulations.
You know, we're so happy for them. But now today, you know, with this report, for me, they are the mother body. And I'm not sure how do you work, but I think to some extent I understand that you audit them on their organizational, probably, you know, organization or whatever. But, I mean, in the future, can't we have something like an outcome or a result where even if they get an unqualified, but because they didn't, for me, to some extent, they didn't do their job well. They are the mother body. They must ensure that the provinces are performing. If they need report, they must ensure and follow up that they get those reports. They must verify the information. How they do it, they are the national department. They must see to it that they've got capacity. So for me, for them to get an unqualified audit and the rest qualified audits, honestly, for me, they were supposed to be the ones who get an unqualified audit. But anyway, it's just a suggestion or maybe because I'm angry. And I'm not sure. I just want to ask from you, maybe it's my own observation. In the past, things used to be done manually. Everything was in order. You would record. You would take a book, open a page, use a ruler, and write 5 minus 4. You know, all those things. But today, we've got ICT that is supposed to query, you know, makes things much easier for us. But instead, it's the opposite. So I'm not sure, just in your own observation of you, do you think this ICT is really impacting negatively? Or because really in the past, manually, you would know where the book is and fill it out, you know, if you've used a material in the department, just like that. And then with this unauthorized expenditure and irregular expenditure, you know what? It's so depressing. I just want to know, I mean, who is the final, maybe that one is to the department or somebody, but you will also guide me there. Who is the final accountable person? I mean, in terms of these unauthorized, because my question is always that these unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, but nothing happens. People are still retain their position. I mean, if somebody has to be whipped, then they have to whip somebody, whip somebody, you know, until the end. Until we do such things where people are fired, blood, we set an example, nothing is going to change in the Department of Health as a whole, you know. Thank you.
I need to oversight the members now. Okay, you'll be the last one so that they can answer. I think their brains are not that big. So we don't need to pump them with a lot of information. Okay, member.
As a person, mine is just too short that I'm having a problem with the office of the AG. Because if the provinces are getting qualified reports, why should national? Because national is the one that should oversee the provinces. So I hear most of the members saying they are furious, they are what? I suspect that the office of the AG and the department are friends. So let us not talk all year. We will talk when we are with departments because they are going to tell them. Thank you.
Thanks. I think we will give you to answer Alice, Courtney, and now if you have Mozilla, you'll answer. You don't have to answer some questions. Well, I said at the beginning there is the opposition, but in fact we're actually doing the same work with them. And I don't think if there are people that are hated by departments having been there, it's Auditor General. They don't want to see Auditor General and the Portfolio Committee. Those are the two groups that they don't want to see the departments. But I must say, before you answer, I'm trying to look at this and say, much as we are a year old ourselves, even the administration that is there is probably a year old too. They are a year and a half or whatever. 6 years. No, I'm talking about the administration. I'm not talking about the political, the other area. I'm just talking about, well, I've noticed some passion in the department and some honest in accepting some of the things. And that gives me hope. And there's one challenge that we have, which was always mentioned by the former DG, that they've got no way of handling the provinces. this quasi federal state that we have makes it very difficult for them. But one thing that gave me hope yesterday, for those who were not there, the head of department said she is going to find a way of making the provinces account. And in fact, I saw it in the media today that they quoted a verbatim saying that I'm going to be sending people to those provinces so that they can actually, at least that gives us hope. I'm not trying to be a doctor to say the prognosis is good or bad, but I'm trying to, those are some of the things that were, but what is obvious here is that there's no monitoring that is being done. And sometimes it becomes a problem. You'll find that the MEC says, no, I'm only doing political work. The administrator says, I'm doing administrative work. And you find that the main person who's moving around is the MEC, is the political head that knows some of the things. And they are saying that they're going to change that. The inequities that we have in South Africa, because our transformation is about making sure that these inequities are reduced. But the question that I want to pose before you answer us, you know, somebody might talk about irregular expenditure. In that irregular expenditure, somebody might argue and say, no, the reason we had to do it is because there was a toy service delivery toy, so we had to do something. Now we had to rush things and we did them wrongly, but we wanted to make sure that there's a clinic that is going to be built. Now, we didn't look much on the supply chain, whatever that they do. So if you could answer that, how do you handle that? When somebody says, I had to do it because I was rushing, so I didn't look at certain things because I was concentrating on service delivery. It's service delivery versus doing things the right way. So if you could answer that in addition to some of these questions. So over to you, Alice.
Thank you, Chair. I will address the majority of the questions. I'll ask Cornay to fill in where she needs to. I think your last comment is very important, Chair. And I would like to start there to say that the attention or the health sector needs the political attention now. We have seen in the past, and I've used in the National Council of Provinces the other day, the example where a municipality that had a disclaimer of opinion went to unqualified in one financial year because of a change in mayor. And we say leadership can make the difference. Now, in terms of our role as the AGSA, in terms of the legislation, we are mandated to give assurance on the financial statements. It actually means that we only have to do it once a year. And that's what we've been doing for the last number of years. What we've done for the last 2 years is we've increased our leadership visibility. In the past, we haven't attended any portfolio committees. We've made sure that we now attend portfolio committees. Cornay and I have been attending the National Health Council last year. We're also on the agenda for next week at the National Health Council. And we've been invited by the minister now to be a standard agenda item at that council meeting. So the regularity of we will have more regular meetings now with political heads. We've also engaged with the MECs of all the provinces and taken through their provincial outcomes and did the same diagnosis for them to say, what are the leadership issues that need attention? What's the financial performance matters that needs attention? What's the governance issues that need attention? So there's a much better visibility of the AG in communicating these issues. That's exactly why AG has done the cabinet this morning. There will be a National Assembly session on the 29th of October where we will again share the information. So it's really about empowering the leadership with information so that something can be done about it. The AG can't go and fix. But what we realized last quarter, when we finalized the audit report at the end of July, is that it's not enough. And we sat back and we said, so what do we do now? Because this after the effect analysis is not enough anymore. The country needs more. Excuse me. We since then engaged with all the HODs of the department, all nine, 18, including the national. We've engaged with the minister, we've engaged with all the MECs in an exercise what we call the key control exercise. And we empowered the MECs with five things, to say, monitor only five things. The first thing is to say, monitor the daily activities. If every day the transactions must be recorded, the documentation must be retained. A disclaimer is not because of a lack of capacity. Because if I had this document, I must just file it. You don't need somebody, if I process the payment, I need somebody else to come and file. It's just file the information, it's a lack of discipline. That's the first key control, is how to keep daily documents and daily actions. The second one is to say there must be monthly reconciliations. Can we just start there and do monthly recons of all the accounts? The third one was to say we need to count our assets monthly. There's huge resources in the control of the hospitals and clinics. They need to count it. The fourth one was to say you need to prevent non-compliance with laws and regulations. Detection is good. So the auditors come in at year end and we say, you didn't follow due process with this tender. That's not enough. They need to prevent it from happening. So the person that needs to click the button to do a payment must say, that you followed due process. Was there a tender or was there sick quotations? So you need to prevent it. Then they also need to implement measures to say, if it happened, if it slipped through, how do we detect it before the auditors come in? That's good financial management. And then the fifth one is how do you link financial information with service delivery? And it's really to report on service delivery monthly. It's that discipline to say, why do we wait a quarter or a year to get information on HIV/AIDS? Can we get it monthly? And how accurate will that information be? Since we've introduced that key controls recently, we will start now, October is the first deadline, where we will go in and check it. We will then discuss the result of those key controls again with the MECs and the political leadership in the next quarter. So between November and December and January, we will then engage with the leadership to say, how are things? Have the basic disciplines been adhered to? Because we can put in so many systems, so many action. If the basics are not fixed, we're not going to get it right. And I want to add to what you said, Chair, on the National Department taking responsibility. I believe that if we had a National Department taking the same responsibility a few years back, we would have had a different outcome by now. But the National Department, for the first time now, is really taking responsibility of the provinces to say, I need to give policies, I need to give guidance, we need to monitor those policies, we need to make sure that things are happening the way it should be. And the new accounting officer is really promising in terms of making sure that those things happen. In terms of our visibility, we also have a session scheduled with National Treasury where we're going to discuss all the performance indicators challenges we have across the country with them, because it's not only the health sector, it is other sectors that have got similar challenges to report on performance information. And we're requesting Treasury to provide more training, to intervene more so that those issues can be resolved. So in terms of our role is really to empower leadership with enough knowledge to be able to do something about it. when we interact with premiers and MECs, we expect them to do something with that information. We had a very positive response the last few months in all our engagements to say there will be action. I want to continue to the next question. I think I just need to explain quickly the difference in opinions. The disclaimer, as I mentioned, is where we didn't get documentation. So we don't know what's been recorded, is it right or wrong? Free State's a good example this year where they moved from a qualified to a disclaimer. We just didn't get enough information. An adverse is where you have the information, but there's a disagreement on the reported information, and we say it's not correct. Although they're equally bad, I always prefer an adverse because you know what to go and fix. It's very difficult to fix something that you don't know what it is. Qualification is where there's certain aspects of the financial statements that we're not happy with. And then unqualified for two legs. Unqualified with other matters, so it's with issues on performance information or non-compliance. And then we've got the clean audit opinions, which we call unqualified, but no findings on performance performance information and non-compliance. I think it's important that we just make that clear. While I explain that, I also want to explain the question raised by the chief work, because it links to that one. Our mandate is to give an opinion on the fair representation of the financial statements. So if the department disclosed in their financials that there was underspending, and they disclosed that there was irregular expenditure, we can say those set of financials are fairly stated because they're telling the truth. They didn't hide the fact that there was underspending and it was irregular. So it's the truth that they're telling. So we can give them an unqualified opinion, but we say there are other matters. If you don't clear the other matters, you're not clean. And in your health portfolio, there's no department that's clean. All of them have got work to do to get to that position. There was a question about the training in service, the unqualified people, and what's the AG's ability then to also audit that. We don't do skills audits. We only do financial audits. Skills audits are being done. DPSA is assisting. Public Service Commission can be involved. There can also be other consultants used to do skills audits, but we as an organization don't do skills audits. We only do financial auditing. I agree with the comment to say where is internal audit. We've seen that 50% of the departments, so 5 out of the 10, don't have an effective internal audit. Again, it talks directly to leadership. It's a leadership decision to fill those vacancies. It's leadership action that is required. So, again, I believe the whole change is going to come when there's leadership action. On the question about the sustainability of the health departments taking into account the unauthorized, irregular, and unauthorized and the accruals, here it is a concern. Because of the fact that there's not enough money. There hasn't been enough money in the last year. Whether they are underfunded is another question. Because you don't really know, and we as auditors don't know, to what extent they are underfunded and to what extent they are not, the resources are not properly used. And I always use the analogy to say, if you give somebody 100 rand to do something, and they can't tell you what you've done with that, how do you give them more? And that's always the fine balance that's there to say, yeah, they're not, the funding is insufficient, but to what extent will you worsen the problem by giving them more money? Because they're not using the money that they have effectively and efficiently. So it's always a fine balance to say, what should that amount be? And we don't have that answer. Maybe this is where Treasury needs to support the portfolio committee as well, just to assist and do some analysis across the portfolio in terms of where certain savings could be. I had a discussion with the minister previously, and the question was raised to say, to what extent should the money just flow through National so that these conditional grants and that the conditions can be monitored. That's also a leadership challenge that the departments, that political leadership will have to, a decision that you will have to take. Again, if you do that, to what extent is there controls in place at National to monitor those? Because we've noted that there's challenges at National to monitor conditional grants. So I don't think there's an easy answer to this underfunding. A lot of the underfunding for the last 2 years had to do with OSD and the implementation of OSD. Again, we need to assess to what extent OSD has now been incorporated into the budget for the future so that it doesn't happen again. On the revitalization grant share, I just want to make one comment. Other than the maintenance comment, that's a very fair point. We will bring that into our sector analysis. We will focus on that in future. But the Honourable Member also mentioned the fact that there's a disconnect between the revitalization grant and providing resources. And we've seen it. I personally visited the clinic in one of the provinces where it was completed, totally equipped. Now, it's not in use, and when we required why not, they said they didn't budget for doctors and support staff. So that disconnect is a reality. And again, it's about leadership and leadership coordination, making sure that you know which projects are on the revitalization list, so that there's coordination to make sure that we provide for resources to make them and to provide service delivery to the country. There was also a question on the understanding of PFMA. I think this might be a very good recommendation to the department to say what did National do to make sure that there is proper understanding of the PFMA, especially on the financial matters, and that accounting officers understand their role in introducing basic financial disciplines. There was also a question on the monitoring of management letters. Chair, some of those management letters are killing trees because they are very, very thick documents. Some provinces' management reports are running over 1,000 pages. And that's when you then ask, but where do you start? Where do you start if you've got a management report of more than 1,000 pages? Where do you start? And that's why we then said, let's simplify this. Can everybody just do what they do properly and do it daily? Because then we can start fixing the financial issues and we can start focusing on the service delivery. There was also a question about how do we audit provincial and national. This is a very interesting question. We've got provincial department, provincial offices in every office, in every province. So the provincial departments are audited by the provincial auditor general. Cornet's team is responsible for national. Kunai's also got a team that then looks at the sector information, collating information from the provinces. For example, I'm responsible for three provinces, or I was responsible for three, it's now two. Very grateful for the reduction. But in my portfolio was Limpopo, Free State, and Eastern Cape. And it's then my responsibility to engage with those leadership on the outcomes of the audit. So it includes the premiers and the MECs. So we do audit province by province, but we also collate information. There was also a question about formats used throughout the provinces. There is a lot of inconsistencies here, and Cornelius mentioned it. Different systems, different processes, and this is really where national will have to provide guidance. So let's standardize some information so that when we roll it up, we get a picture that's telling us it's accurate, it's complete, it's reliable information. I just want to add on the matter of the audit opinion not addressing the performance information. As from next year, we anticipate it will be from next year, we will issue an opinion on performance information. So the audit report will then have an audit opinion on the financial statements, but then opinion then on the performance information, all the service delivery matters. We did draw a conclusion this year. It's in all the departments' management report. We said to the HODs and the MECs, this is what it looks like. Had we issued the audit opinion, I think six or seven of them would have had disclaimers. And we said, you need to work on this so that next year, when we really issue it, make it public, it doesn't look this bad. So next year we will issue audit opinions. Seven disclaimers and two adverse. So it's a focus area of the sector. There was a very good comment about manual systems made. It's the truth. I've seen in the past we've had those big books and you write it up in all the hospital, the accounting departments. What we found with the DHIS system as well, the information, the health information system, is that it's not only that there's security issues around the system, but people are not using the system. So some complete the information, some don't. Some complete it incompletely. So it's also a training and an attitude that needs to change to make IT work. IT systems is not going to be effective if the people don't use it, if they don't update the information. So it's broader than just providing a system. It really starts with everybody taking responsibility. Unauthorized, the final accounting person is the accounting officer. Although, as I mentioned, we have a lot of interaction with leadership to bring this to their attention. The national department getting an unqualified, I think I've explained this, they've got unqualified on their own financial statements, but on their role, they're not. They've got issues to resolve. And then lastly, Chair, you mentioned the irregular expenditure where there's urgent procurement that must happen. That happens, and we will be unrealistic to think you don't need urgent procurement. And even the Treasury regulations gives you leeway. They say if it's urgent and emergency cases, please procure without following the process. It's there. But you can't use a bad planning as a reason for deviating from the process. You can't say, I know about procuring this system for 2 years, but now it must be implemented next month, now I don't follow a process. But because I've neglected to follow a process for 2 years. that is not following due process. And that's where we actually say that deviation was followed but not justified. We need to assess whether deviation processes were justified. Are they really urgent and emergency cases? Because the regulations are clear to say bad planning does not is not a reason for emergency and urgent cases. I don't know, Cornelia, would you like to add anything?
I think you covered everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe Vuyoga wants to say something. She declared that she didn't want. She's disclaiming. Thank you very much. I'm not sure, members, whether you want to ask some more follow-up questions. I think everything has been very cleared, so there doesn't seem to be any. Thank you very much, Alice, for those answers. I think the meeting is getting to a close now. We thank you very much for coming and giving us this information. What we wish you to remain honest with integrity and not to have favors, because the job that you're doing is very important in informing us as to what's going on. And in fact, even ourselves, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to do our work honestly without favors, that if something is wrong, it's wrong. If it is right, it's right. I'd rather be hated for saying something honestly than to be hated for saying something that is not honest. So, members, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much, members. Do you want to say something, Matu?
Yes, just from his personal information around disclaimers, unauthorized, the explanation in brief as to what is what, how does what work, how does this one work, and how, so that in future we must know that the, what does unauthorized mean, disclaimer mean, and yeah, that's just a request.
You just have to understand those.
Yes.
Why don't we do it this way? In the presence of Alice and Connie, we try and give you the answer so that they can correct us whether we understood what they were trying to say. Because I'm trying to be to learn by when somebody is looking after me, saying that you are right. My understanding, if you allow me, Matube, is that a disclaimer is where somebody. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody has not given information as to what they did with the money. Then they say, we are disclaiming. We are not part of what you have said you have done when we don't know that you have done it. That's a disclaimer. Then the adverse one is where somebody brings the information, but the Auditor General doesn't agree with this information that it is right. So it becomes an adverse. I'm testing my knowledge on what you've been saying. Then an unqualified audit report is where you've had everything that they needed. Whether it's, let me not say whether it's right or wrong, but you've given that the money that I had, I used it for this, for that, you've got all the receipts. It does not talk about the service. When you say the money that the 3 million that I had, here's a receipt, I built a clinic. Whether that clinic is working or not working, but the important thing is that the receipt is there to show that the clinic was built. That's then it becomes an unqualified system. I'm not sure if I'm wrong. Maybe I was testing my knowledge.
You absolutely right, Chair. Chair, we do have a small document, a one pager with some explanations that we will provide to the committee.
Well, in fact, the WIP is telling us that, you remember there's a day when everybody was called. In then I know Alice was there. I'm not sure whether Connie was there, but Alice was there explaining to us. But for some reason, some of the members were busy somewhere. So not all the members were there. So those who were there received it, and they looked at it. So I think Uma Grace was not there that day. So you can give us those documents so that they can have a look at them, so that we understand. Because we seem to be doing the same work. Thank you very much, AG. Thank you very much, members. But I'm requesting that members, if we could remain just for 5 minutes, but we'll allow AG to leave. You can make a disclaimer because we are not going to give you this information that way. So it's just going to be a short meeting. Members, let's make it a very short meeting. The first one, we had talked about a trip which BAT, British American Tobacco, wanted to take a few of the members somewhere. I was phoned by BAT saying that they want to confirm, but unfortunately they have not come up with dates. So I'm going to follow it up. Probably through SMSs from all of you guys, you'll be told as to what's happening. Because they were saying they were looking for a date. So still be on the alert that there might be a trip organized by BAT where we'll go to Malawi or Canada. They have not decided. The second one is the adoption of the report that we have. We were thinking that we meet next week. Unfortunately, I won't be there. I'm apologizing next week. But the whip will be here. You'll be going to? When are you going to Vendor?
Next week.
Oh. Yeah, the whip and myself won't be around. But we're thinking that on Tuesday we need to meet and adopt the report. But if you guys will organize. I'm not sure how Tuesday will be for most of the people. Because it has to be done sometime next week. Before Friday, not so far. Yeah. And then the third thing that probably we need to make a suggestion, when do you think we can meet the department? Because I think it's fairly urgent that we meet the department, especially with the information that we've got. Okay, well.
Can I ask a question, Chair? Maybe I don't understand here. How are we going to adopt the report possibly on Tuesday when we still have all this which has come up now, and we are trying to say actually we need to meet with the department again in the light of what we've been made aware of with our shortcomings as well. Well, because when we met them yesterday we were not as wise as we are now, if I can put it that way.
No, I'm not sure. Maybe I stand corrected. What we're doing yesterday with the department, we're looking at their annual reports of the money that they've been given. What did they do with it? Now, always, the report is going to be about that. This is what they did. This is what they achieved, and this is what they did not achieve. And then we make recommendations. And I think that is over. Then on the other part, is that as you were sitting with the department, there's a lot of holes that we noticed in the department, and we needed them to explain to us, not necessarily about the annual report, but just to understand how are they doing these things, because there seems to be a lot of problems, which, in addition to what we've got today, Now, that is slightly separate from the annual report. We just need that day where they will come and tell us, and in fact now we've been empowered, we'll be asking a lot of other things. And that has got nothing to do with the annual report. Probably it will go into their strategic plans when they strategize for future. And so that when they come to us and say, we want 18.4 billion, we say, no, you can get it, provided your strategy agrees with what we discussed with you. So for me, those were two different things. But you'll correct me if that was not your understanding. So that I want us to be in the same wavelength.
Chairman, my understanding is there's many questions from the annual report which the department hasn't answered yet, and that's why we were going to meet with them initially. This has come up subsequently, which we obviously, I'm sure, and members want to engage them on this. So there's two parallel things going on. You know, and I believe before we adopt the report, we must engage with the department again. Because there are questions, we all have questions still, pertaining to the report.
Will it be okay to meet them on Tuesday? Okay, Ndaka Khala.
Chairperson, I thought we had some sort of, I don't know whether, but we usually met on Wednesday. Why don't we meet on the day on which we usually meet? Or was it Tuesday?
Wednesday.
It was Wednesday.
No, what's just happening is that if you notice, there's no sitting in parliament now, so it's just committees.
Okay.
So you can meet. The only problem is sometimes the challenge becomes venues.
Mm-hmm.
You start having problems with venues. So we could meet on Tuesday if we get a venue. We can meet on Wednesday. We can meet on Thursday. As you can see, we're meeting yesterday. We're meeting today. We're meeting tomorrow. So there doesn't seem to be a problem because there's committees as long as there's a venue.
Since Buya is disagreeing with you.
I thought she was agreeing. Okay, let me hear.
When it's committee week, our time slot is Tuesday.
Okay.
And when the House is sitting, it's Wednesday. Because some of the members are also sitting in other committees. So if we want to meet on Wednesday, we can meet on Wednesday in the afternoon. Then if we meet on Tuesday, we meet in the morning. And then when it's plenary, we meet on Wednesdays. That's how it works.
Yeah. Then I'll be happy with Tuesday morning. I prefer a meeting in the morning than in the afternoon.
Okay, let's talk to the truth, eh?
Chairperson, maybe I don't know if it is possible that you tell us where will you be, because I really feel that you should be here when we meet the department as the chair after what transpired yesterday and today. Please. Can you give us priority?
Can I just say, Chair, that's exactly why I could not even ask the same question. She's good to do where I'm calling. It's important that one is from the Chair should be there when we're meeting. So I just wanted to see a lot of things thinking about
it. Thank you, Maltese. BAT Masakhale is British American tobacco.
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes and.
And BB.
And oh. BB.
I thought it was a
plague. No, it's not a plague. What's happening is that on Friday, I'm supposed to go to America. There's a conference by Nestle that I'm invited to attend in America. Everything has been arranged that I go there, and I come back on the 22nd. So that is the problem. much as in fact I wanted to stop that thing and say, look, we are meeting, but I was told that no, we're meeting this week, next week there's going to be nothing. Then I left them. So they've already done everything that I got there. The WIP is going to an HIV, I think it's a workshop in Namibia. So he's not going to be around too. He's going to Namibia. You're leaving on the 20th. You're leaving on Tuesday. So this is, and unfortunately we've got a deadline with the report. We've got a deadline that by such and such a time, it must have been adopted and presented. No. Yeah, right, Malto. My priority is the committee. My priority is the committee. And unfortunately, I thought when they organized everything, we had looked at the timetable and the dates, and we said that week we're not going to have anything, we're going to have everything. That's why you see we're having the department, we're having AG, we're having the CMS. The only two people that apologize is the MRC and National Health Laboratory. They said, no, they can't see us this week. So we've suggested 2 days after the 22nd. It's becoming more confusing. Okay, Malta. Maybe let's put it this way. But the problem is that we might not have a chance of sitting like this, all of us. But I will talk to the chair of chairs and see whether it might not happen. But you'll have to expect phone calls then that will phone you. Let me put it there that by tomorrow when we meet CMS, I would have talked to Bapel. So we'll tell you when we meet tomorrow. Okay. And then we can decide when are we meeting. Okay. Mike, you want to say something? I'm looking at your eyes. It seems as if you want to say something. Are we all agreeing on this one? That tomorrow I will tell you what Bapela is saying. Okay. I can't see the eyes of Natehanaru because he's got spectacles. Okay, Mike, you can say what you say.
I usually speak with my mouth.
You can also talk with your eyes. I just want to ask, what is happening with regards to an overseas trip, fact-finding visit for the NHR that we're supposed to be going on as a committee? Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Well, when...
Honorable Mike, another thing which I want us to talk about, maybe an information from yourself, when are we getting the report on the Brazil? Because wherever we go, even yesterday, they have been talking about this Brazilian model. And apparently it is the D thing, irrespective that it is refined, is an old thing. One would want to have a package which will help us on our oversight.
We must go to Thailand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, when we planned an overseas trip, like, it was not based on any chance. It was just to go overseas and see a sort of benchmark what the other people are doing. And I was invited by the department to go with them when they were going to Brazil. I didn't want to give a full report here because it was the department. But all I wanted us to go to Brazil to go and see. But when we talked, it was felt that the best time to go there, looking at other committees, because we can't have many committees leaving. Our time would probably be better in January, or not January, but beginning of the year. So what we were trying to organize with Vuyokazi was to organize such that we put all our things now for next year, so that we are the first group to go overseas. And the intention was to go to Brazil. And basically in Brazil, that's what you'll get, is that the primary health care there is very good. In fact, that's what I noticed. And I think that's the report that is coming from everybody. But I wanted us to see for ourselves when we go there and let those people present us. The language might not be the same. They speak in Spanish or Portuguese. Yeah. But there are interpreters. You will understand what is going on. The primary health care is very good. Now, coming back to NHI, I think one of the areas where which one tends to think that in our system in South Africa, we have not concentrated in primary health. And probably going there was to see how they implement their primary health, which we think that probably will fit in our NHI if we go that route. It's just to see that primary health care.
But in the meantime, I understand what you are saying, and I appreciate it. But what I'm saying, so that people right in South Africa shouldn't leave us behind, can we get... not from you, I don't know what, because I was in a lot of workshop and a lot of meetings, you know, whereby the emphasis was on Brazilian model. I know that you will go there, but in the meantime, can we just have some package so that we can even reach for ourselves?
I think let's record this. Maybe when we meet the department, because it was mainly the department, we'll ask either, Jürgen Bille, I'm not sure, I can't remember whether he was there, but there is somebody who was there in the meeting. So we can ask the department that they must give us a short presentation of what happened in Brazil, what's going on in Brazil, even before we go. Okay.
Just came back to NHI. If you remember, you informed the committee that I think IDASA was trying to take the committee to several countries to have a look at the different models on NHI, because no one model is the same. I mean, has anything happened to that?
I actually followed up with them, because they're the ones who came up and said, we want to do this. And then I went back to them and said, when are we going? And they said, no, they've decided to hold on to it. And they said to me, when they've decided they'll come back to me, they have never come back to me so far.
Controversially, Chair, you know, there's a country here across the border, very close to us, where conditions perhaps are very, very similar and all that to ours, who implemented primary health care so well and so commendably that, in fact, they were recognized by WHO and given a recognition and award, something like that. Now, that country is Zimbabwe. It's cheaper. We can take a coach and just cross the border. They are crossing every day coming here. No language difficulties. The conditions are very much like ours here. And I know that there have been other things which have happened now, but they are on record as an African country which has done an excellent job implementing primary health care. Thank you.
You can switch it off,
Master.
What I want to suggest is that what we were just discussing with this BAT and the report, maybe before we give Ufuyoga the mandate to go and organize the trip that is going to be going to overseas, or wherever. Let me not say overseas. Let me say go. We need to have an hour to discuss where do we want to go. We don't just need to say we want to go to Brazil, but let's discuss. But it's not for today.
Yeah.
We'll find a day where we can discuss. Okay.
Honorable Chair, please not overland. Then rather go overseas.
No. Whether it's overland or overseas, whether it's Zimbabwe or Brazil, I think let's discuss it on that particular day, whichever one. I know there are some people who feel very bad about Zimbabwe. Some would feel that. So let's not discuss it now. Let's discuss it later.
I don't know whether I'm too sensitive, but I want to ask the committee this question. One, we have just received a report that is, you know, very, very, very depressing. But also there's something that I've observed, and maybe because I'm new, I want it clarity. That when people go anywhere on our behalf, one, are they not supposed to come and tell us what is it that they saw or what was the trip all about, being it officials or us? Because I feel left out as a member of the committee to hear that officials of my portfolio committee are attending a workshop, maybe in Santen, representing health, but as members of this portfolio committee, one, we may not know, two, we may not get feedback. So am I too politically, maybe, I don't know how to put it, but I'm feeling that this committee, it's like nobody's taking it serious or very serious, to an extent that some of us feel that we are not serious. I can go, I can't go. Good, there's nothing that is pushing us, or me, let me not talk about us. Because we don't present ourselves to the officials as serious as we think we are. So I just want to check, is it only me who's having this feeling, or is it supposed to be like that, or just a point of clarity from those people who can answer me?
Thank you. I wanted to call you out of order because the things that we're going to discuss, we've already discussed. But I think it's very serious what you are bringing up. But let's separate certain things. There are those people who would go on behalf of the committee, being paid by Parliament. There are those people who would be invited into a particular thing. That, look, we just, obviously, most of the time when you get invited, they just want to, like, for instance, I was invited by department last week, they were talking about the standards of compliance. All they wanted me to listen to them talking about what they plan about standards of compliance, and some of the meetings are like that. And there are those where something is going to come either from Chief Whip's office or the Speaker saying that we've received an invitation. We think that somebody from the health committee must go. And the report that gets written goes to the speaker. Goes to the speaker, and it's up to the speaker what they do with that particular report. Well, as I said, there are other organizations, like the BAT. BAT, that is the British American Tobacco, is just inviting us to go to these countries. We're not going to be doing anything there more than the fact that they'll be showing us. Those members that will be there, they'll be showing them that, look, if without tobacco, some people might not live. This is why we think that, trying to lobby us in one direction or the other. So maybe what we'll do, we'll have to categorize these things and make sure that if somebody goes on behalf of the committee, they'll have to come back and report. In fact, we are not going to look into the way forward, but even those that have happened, we are going to see when Masi Khaled went to Joburg, what was it all about? Does she need to come back and report? Because she wanted to come back and report. But I kept on saying, okay, you will report. So we'll... Yeah, oh, she reported there. Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll look at all of them so that we need to make sure that we keep each other abreast of what is going on in the community. And one other thing, probably, let me just add that whenever there are some of these things, we always try, unless it's an invitation for the chair, but we always try and make sure that we rotate. Somebody goes, Umalthuli did not give us a report, but we look what was she doing in Durban when we had asked her to go to Durban on our behalf. And we'll do the same with the chief. With the whip, we looked at what was happening. So we try and change people and see what is it that they went for so that they can give us a report if it was pertaining to the portfolio committee.
Omar Dube is having a point, because when the chairperson is invited to wherever, she's invited, he is invited as the chairperson of the portfolio committee. And for us to keep each other posted, we should give each other report.
No, that's a very important point, and this is what we would need to do. And give reports as to what has happened. And as I say, we'll actually go retrospectively and look at what has happened before. Are there any other issues? No, but it will be tomorrow.
The meeting is finished now. Right?
Okay, maybe if there's nothing, then why don't we call it a day? And then we'll meet tomorrow. What time tomorrow?
9 o'clock
tomorrow.
Okay.
That one is to what? Mama,
I'm not remembering again.